And let's receive to the platform this morning our dear and precious honorable brother, Burberry Daza, as he comes to release the word of the Lord today. Just thank you, Father, for Burberry as he comes. As part of the apostolic team and leader. Thank you, Father. Just anointing today. Whew. Stand up if you can. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks again, worshipers, worship team.
My heart is full this morning. So full that I don't know what to do and how to handle it. Because of so much of the presence of God. And these are the days that we don't need to count the hours we spend before the Lord. Because He's the Lord and the owner of the house. He can decide to keep us here till tomorrow, anytime. And we have no option than to listen and obey. I came with my King James Bible today. And each time I come with my King James Bible, I stay longer on the pulpit. And Rosemary will say, "Buddha, about 30 minutes. And I say, "How can that be done in 30 minutes? And I will look at the scripture where Stephen was disputing with the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7. And he was arguing from the whole Old Testament to the New to prove to them that Jesus is the Messiah. I look at many scriptures that always put things together to prove the divinity of Jesus. So it hasn't been a small thing to do it in 30 minutes. Paul stayed in Athens, and the Bible says he argued all day. And one time also, he was talking all night, and the Spirit of God would let him continue and continue because the river of God was flowing out of him. And he did this and extended it to midnight. Somebody got tired and fell from the window, from the third floor down and died. Paul went down there and picking up, said, "You're not dying, you will hear this word of the Lord." So those, that's the kind of anointing that God is going to bring these days. Very profound, unlimited, like the river of life, it will flow. Everything that is on the way. Remove every obstacles. And God will show that He is God. This morning, as the prophetic word was going, and I was just here rejoicing because that is one of the things, is a confirmation about what I'm going to preach. Jesus was so particular about prophetic words and His fulfillments. In Luke 24, verse 40 or something around that, Jesus was rebuking the disciples of low understanding of the prophetic. Let me read that scripture. It's very interesting. Luke 24. Luke 24, 25. Bear with me. Tumble and fall. If on the other side you fall down, a rock falls upon you, it will crush you. The truth will either make you go stronger or it will crush you, depending on your reaction to it. Church, we haven't seen nothing yet. God is going to prove that He is God Almighty. Amen. And that He made all things, that the earth is under His control. Amen. But we have to align with Him. We have to align with Him. so that his purpose will be done, will be fulfilled on earth. Oh, for the past 3 Sundays, God has been doing some great things in our midst. I left here last Sunday and my brain was just spinning. When Pastor Femi was just hitting some things that I agree with my spirit. So today, the other day when we are four weeks ago, when we gathered here on a Tuesday to pray, and Jane was speaking and say, we are a family, and families pray together, we do things together. And she read a psalm, I think Psalm 61, it's talking about pouring out her crying out unto God. And I've been following those psalms, and I discovered that the church, one thing the church lacks today is to cry. We have lost our tears. We wonder why God is doing nothing, because the church has lost their tears. We lost our tears. We are no longer crying. It is only just some few prayers and go away. You know, for you to cry, you must have a burden. Throughout the scripture are people who move God, who move mountains. We are crying people. We are crying people. Jeremiah was a crying prophet. Ezekiel, they all cried. Nehemiah, they cried, they wept, because the glory they get used to is passed away, and they want it back. And so they cry. We lost our cries, church. We lost our tears. And I say God is telling us to come back to where we will soak our face with tears. And then Jesus, we will pray, and we will sweat. And that our sweat will drop like blood to pull down heaven. But that's not where I'm going today. I have wanted to speak about love, obedience, and surrender, following the message he preached last week. But the Lord changes suddenly. So I will leave that for another time, if the Lord tarries, and if the Lord gives us the grace. I want to talk about the man Jesus. We don't know him. The man Jesus. Lord has been putting that burden on me. I've been searching the scripture, crying, God, show me. But this morning, I'm going to talk about the sword and the garments. If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning. I will quickly finish this and we go. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. 35-38. And he said unto them, when I send you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? Did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that had no purse, let him take it. He that has purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is that is written, must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, criminals. For the things concerning me have an end. In other words, it must come to pass. So that was, I was telling you that Jesus was so concerned about prophetic words. Because without prophetic words and their fulfillment, the whole scripture is a lie. And God is a lie. It's false, nothing. We have no basis, we have no foundation. If the words of God don't come to pass. Sword and garments. This passage that I've read is one of the most misunderstood passages of scripture. People have built a lot of things on them. Where Jesus said, if you don't have a soul, sell your garments and go and buy one. People have built a lot of doctrines on that. In fact, there's a community in one of these countries, I know I'm not going to mention the countries, where Christians literally like this, every one of us here, we will come into this church with our guns. Yeah, we carry our guns here. Why? They tell you that because Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. So everyone carries gun when they come to church. Because of how they understand what Jesus said. I won't say how they understand, but how they misunderstood what Jesus said. I'm not against gun. As long as you don't aim at me, you can carry your gun. I'm not against gun. No. But as long as you don't use it as a defense, as you use only for your own defense and you don't destroy other people God has made, I have no problem with that. But that is so far how the people understand the scriptures. So, I want to tell you that the drift of this passage plainly indicates that there is a mystical or spiritual meaning here. This scripture has a spiritual meaning, very mystical, that people don't understand. And they cannot understand until they see it in the light of the word. Except the light comes on you, and you see it in the light of the scriptures and the prophetic words. It has a spiritual and mystical meaning here. Pause. Scripts, obey, shoes, sword, garments. They are all evidently symbols set forth that there is something hidden about these scriptures. That is, if you read them literally and take them literally, you will miss it. There is something, there is a spirit behind them. There is something about these scriptures that the disciples didn't understand. Even today in our world, we don't understand. There is something deeper than you think. It's not literal. And you shouldn't interpret it and take it literally. Go and get the spirit behind this. Then you will know. So why should Jesus tell them literally to take Paul's script and shoes now any more than before that has happened? Why should they sell this their garment and buy sword? Why? Just want to pause and listen. Why should you sell your garment and buy a sword? The reason why Jesus said that, because it was just around the corner before he goes to the cross. It was in that garden and the multitude were coming, well-armed soldiers and spears to take somebody which they thought was a criminal. And the disciples were there. And the human beings, something started happening. The blood of Peter was stimulating, was running fast. How will I be here? And these idiots come and lay hold on my master. Something in him, the human nature, the man, the beast that was in Peter still rising up, he picked the sword. I don't know how many people, how many disciples that day had sword also. We only hear about Peter. He drew his own. Eventually, when we go down, when Jesus said, if you have no sword, sell your garment and buy it. Buy one. Then the disciples say, hey, here are two swords. There are two here. So I believe one was with Peter, but I don't know who other among the apostles had one. The Bible didn't tell the next person, but there were two souls there. Two souls. Peter took one. And all he could do is to smite the ear of a servant of the high priest. That's all he could do. How could you face the enemy? Because the enemy comes in his great power to destroy, to withstand God's people. The enemy comes in great anger and fierceness to destroy, to kill, and to destroy. And except you are armed with the heavenly armor, you cannot stand before him. Because he comes in all his fullness to destroy, to kill, and to destroy. But blessed be God, Jesus came, I came that they might have life and to have it more abundantly. And I prophesy in these last days to you, you will have more abundant life in you. On the inside of you, that will make you prevail and overcomer. So all Peter could do was to cut off one ear. And Jesus said, hey, boy, we are not for that here. That's not what we came here for. He picked the piece of ear and put it back. You imagine how Peter could be so discouraged. But we thought we were defending him. He's rebuking us. Peter put in the sword in the case there. He said, those that carry the sword will die by it. My kingdom, my doctrine is not a doctrine of violence. It's a doctrine of peace, non-violence. That's what I come here for. I'm a master of peace. I am the prince of peace. So how can I carry the sword? Church, this thing we are doing, we will overcome. Not because we carry swords and guns. We will overcome by the power of the Spirit that's within us. Gentle spirit will come. And when the Spirit of God comes, as they were saying, when we prophesy, no enemy can withstand the prophetic utterance that will come out of your mouth. It will be like wind. Son of man, prophesy. And you will open your mouth by the Spirit of the living God. And you will prophesy. And every obstacle on the way shall give way. And the glory of God, things will happen. Yeah, we have the sword of the Spirit in our mouth. And when we use it, it will pierce the heart of the enemy. Peter put it there. I didn't come for that. Mine is a kingdom of peace. Mine is a non-violence movement. Non-violence movement. That's why Jesus came for. But he's going to, by that, through that non-violence, he's going to crush all the enemies. It's God of peace. This message is going to take some time, but I'm going to cut it because I will allow my boss to tell me when next I can finish. But I'm not going to finish it. I'm going to cut some few things and let you understand where I'm going. Timing. Jesus said, when I told you to go, I asked you to carry purse, scripts, shoes, and sword. I don't want to go into explaining what each of those items mean and their significance. But what I'm so interested about, then he called again and said, when I told you to carry this in, do you lack anything? They say, no. But I said, now, because the season is changing, times have changed. When Jesus was alive with them for 3.5 years, anything they needed, they will come to him face to face. And he will do it. They need not to pray. Oh, we need bread for the 5,000 people. He said, you give it to them. Tell them to sit down. He prayed, and the 5,000 people eat, have enough bread. Every miracle, they will come to him. When he was descending from the Mount of Transfiguration, when he came to the foot of the hill, then his servants were struggling to cast out a demon from a boy. And they couldn't. And the father cried to Jesus, said, look, I brought my son here possessed. But your disciples couldn't do anything. Jesus said, bring him. And Jesus just cast it. Many, many things like that, as you see the scripture, Jesus was doing everything for them. So even if they didn't pray, the prayer of Jesus was covering them. He did everything for them as long as he's there. Say, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, there will be no darkness. As long as you trust me. He told the woman of Samaria, say, the water I give to you is a living water. It will flow out of your belly to eternity. This one you give, you are fetching. If I drink it, you need water tomorrow. So Jesus was doing great things for all the people, satisfying them. But now, he's about to go. Then, he said, because of the changing season. Because of the changing season. Because of the nature of the times in which we are. Church, I want you all to understand that we are in a changing season. We are in a changing world. Things are not going to be the same as it used to be. Never. Things have changed forever, for good. So we have to follow the change. Jesus said, because of the present nature of things and situation, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment, sell your shoes, sell all the other things and buy one sword. You need it now because of the changing nature of things. And the sword he wanted them to buy wasn't a physical sword. That is why when they say, Master, we have two here, he said, enough. We are not talking about this time of sword. Because if Jesus actually needed sword, what will two sword do among 12 disciples? The 12 of them should have 12 swords. But because he's not referring to the material sword, he said, what is this two among us? It's enough. Close that chapter. I'm not talking. I want you people to understand that. I'm not talking about guns and sword. What Jesus was talking about, and is talking about, is the truth, the spirit of the truth. And you turn with me to Ephesians, which we all know. Ephesians chapter 6. We note the type of sword he said about. Ephesians 6. He said, you know, we quote the scriptures from time to time. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Because stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod your feet, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereunto ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's all Jesus after. You take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which is the truth. He said that's the only thing that can make you to stand in this changing time. The word of God, the truth, the Son. The word of God, the Son. In John 17, 17, says, Jesus said, your word is truth. So, church, we need to stand by the truth now. Never at any time in life, in history, can we succeed without standing by the truth. The Son, the word of God, the word of God, the truth. In the beginning, there was the word, the beginning, the word. And the word was with God. And the word, God. The truth, Jesus is the truth. Jesus telling them, say, it is only your confidence in me, believing in me and the truth that I have spoken that can make you to withstand the evil time. That's why I say, enough for Saul. I don't want that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about truth. Church, I want you to know, if there's anything we need to pursue vigorously and hold it firmly, is the truth. The word of God. The church today, many have been deceived and swayed from the truth. And we set our programs. We are more interested in garment, which is the outer covering, which Jesus said it should be so for the truth. We are more concerned about the outer garment, the fanciful things, the entertainment, the music, good pews, great buildings, edifice, all over, name, fame, program, this and that, this all over the world. No single truth. The word of God is not having effect because the truth is not preached. And people don't live by the truth. We make a merchandise of God's people. Truth. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven, is the truth. The church need nothing more now than the truth. Jesus said, I'm going away, but the only thing that can make you to withstand the pressure of the world, surely you will be persecuted. There will be trouble. There will be envy. There will be all kinds of things will come. Because I'm going away, but the only thing that can keep you standing is nothing but the truth. So when they drive you from prison to another prison, and when they kick you, and when they put salt before your throat, and when they threaten you by anything, whether government or individual, whatever the demonic entities are planning against you, the only thing that can make you to stand is the truth. God's word said this, and I believe it. And that's where I stand. We have to come to such a situation where we will say, God said, I'm the Lord that healed thee. then you will stand on that word. No matter what the doctor said, no matter the report, because God's people believe the truth, we stand on it and we say, God, I don't care. If I die, I die. But I'm going to stand on your word. That is the challenge that is before us. The truth. And why Jesus was so concerned about that truth. Let us look at that passage again. Luke 22. Say, but now, he that had no pulse, let him take it. He that had pulse, take it. And likewise, his scripts. And he that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written, that must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. What does that mean? Jesus is protecting the prophetic words. The prophetic words said he was numbered among transgressors. In other words, that scripture must come to pass in him. Isaiah 53:12 says, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All these things must come to pass, because if they don't come to pass, God is a liar. So Jesus don't want to defend himself. He has to submit himself in order to fulfill the scripture. He was numbered among transgressors. On the cross, which I'm trying to fast through, fast forward, so that we can go. On the cross, there were two criminals. One was crucified on his left, the other one was on his right. Jesus was right in the middle. That's the fulfillment of that scripture. Are you hearing me? He was numbered among transgressors, criminals. So on the cross, one, two, three, two thieves, criminals, Jesus in the middle, he was numbered with them. That scripture must come to pass. He bore the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgressors. And you see there, in that scripture, it talks about Jesus crying. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He made intercession for transgressors right there on the cross. That scripture had to be fulfilled. And if Jesus will just fight and go to the backyard, that scripture will not be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. Because Jesus was so concerned about the fulfillment of prophecies concerning him. If you read on, they say he shared his grief among the wicked. He shared his grace with the wicked. And I was looking at it and said, God, how does that happen? Was he a wicked man? Why should he, a righteous man, share the grave with the wicked? And you remember that even when Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and pleaded for the body of Jesus to be buried. And being a noble man, honorable man, Pilate granted him and he took the body. And he with Nicodemus, he took the body. And the place where they took the body to, the Bible says, by, if you look at that scripture, read down, say, where they crucified him, there was a garden near there. You go and read it, it's there. I'm not going to spoon feed you. There was a garden there. And inside the garden, there was a new sepulcher where they have not buried any person. A new tomb. So eventually they bury him in that new tomb, which I think probably belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. That is how Jesus shared his grave with the rich and the poor, the criminals. So if there was a new sepulcher there in that garden, it means that was a cemetery where they bury dead folks. So they must, that's where they bury some poor and rich people there. So some criminals were buried in that cemetery. But where the very tomb that Jesus was inside, was buried inside, belonged to a rich man. That scripture must be fulfilled. Everything about Jesus must be fulfilled. So he was numbered among transgressors. And he shared his grave among the poor and the rich. On that cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I think in the same scripture in Psalm 60 say, I turn my face to those who strike me. The last verse of Matthew 26:67 says, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. On that day on that cross, while they were beating him and dragging him, I see something like similar in my culture to the Jewish culture. When you are a criminal, they treat you really like a criminal. And one man just came from nowhere, on his face, spitted on his face. And Jesus said, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, people who smite my back, and my cheeks, to them that pluck up the hair. They just literally come to you now. Are you the son of God? He went through everything. When I was a baby, going to church with my father, I always cried during the Easter when they preached about the death of Jesus. I said, why do they kill him? He was a good man. A little child, I don't know nothing. Why? Nobody could rescue him. Sometimes I say, why didn't he leave town? So that they can't get hold of him. He surrendered to the enemy. He said, you're looking for me? Here am I. I'm always worried. I'm in trouble. As a teenager, I didn't know. But now I know he did that because of me. He went through all this treatment because of me and because of you. The cross nailed it all. The cross nailed the devil. It nailed death and the powers of darkness. We have to preach the truth, the cross. Because that's the bottom line. That's the foundation of the truth. That's the foundation of everything. That's the conclusion of all things on that cross. Jesus was not hiding, running from the cross. I gave my bag to the smiters and my chest to them that plucked it up of the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I bore the sins of many. And he was numbered among transgressors because he has decided from the beginning to pour forth his soul unto death. Nothing. No group of soldiers, no matter how heavily armed they are, will make Jesus to turn back. He has to face the cross. Church, we have to face the truth. We have to preach the truth. Whether the government likes it or not. Whether the world likes it or not. We have to preach the truth. Truth. Sword. Garment. Which one would you prefer? Sword. Garment, which one is your emphasis? Where are you going in this evil time? You choose today what you want, and God will give you what you want. The Father never abandoned Jesus, even though he turned his back because of the sin of the world. He loved him. That's why I was talking about love, obedience, and surrender. We'll come to that someday. But for today, which would you prefer? Sword or garment? Many in the body of Christ have taken the garment. Forsaking the soul. Which one will you take? Christ has the final say. I love that music by Cody Keynes. And I want us to listen to that music as we dedicate our lives to God. As we dedicate our lives to God today. Believe the truth will get grip of your heart and hold you, and will stand on a march unto victory. The cross has the final.